It's time for Facts on Sports with Facts and Childress and John Haidt.
Rattler awaits a shotgun snap, gets it, blitz coming, pressure coming. Barrett Carter getting out and sacking Rattler.
They do have a timeout, decide not to use it. Curry, way downtown, bang! Bang! Oh, what a shot from Curry! With 0.6 seconds remaining!
He could have easily gotten 5 or 6 yards if he would have just pulled that thing down and dove forward.
But why do you even ponder passing? I mean, you can take a knee and try a 56-yard field goal. This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
Oh, what a play by Mike Williams. A touchdown of 19 yards. I mean, he put Jamarcus King on his back and gave that chicken a ride.
Free throw shooter.
Clark in a straight jacket. Oh, he didn't need to do that. He threw it away. Ping, Pickies.
To the sideline, caught first down.
Woo! What a hit, Denzel Ward. You got barbecue back there, and you didn't invite me. Hurt my feelings.
Well, then Chase Hunter, 2 seconds, one launches a three. Good if it goes, it does. Chase Hunter, the three at the buzzer, sends Hunts into the locker room up 10.
A double pumper. That was a double pump shot.
That was another one from the band down by the river.
Now, let's go live to Facts and Childress and John Haidt.
We welcome you in, everybody. It's the Wednesday edition of Facts on Sports with Facts and Childress and John Haidt right here on 105.5, 97.5 The Roar on a Wednesday. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in today. We got a lot to discuss on the program Wednesday, September 17th, 2025, including but not limited to, of course, we'll talk a little bit of Clemson football. Hopefully, we can kind of shift gears here today, topic-wise related to Clemson football. I know people are going to want to get in on Sweeney. We'll talk about the Sweeney press conference, but do want to start previewing the game because, believe it or not, John, we do play a football game on Saturday. That seems to have been forgotten, but we do play Syracuse on Saturday, so excited to start breaking that down. We got some college football on Thursday and Friday that we'll talk about, start to break down the weekend slate. We'll go over our pick'em contest from last week, start to preview some of what our pick'em contest looks like this week, and then we got to get to the NFL at some point this week as well, John, because we had a great weekend in the world of the National Football League last week. And excited to break that down and more today. Again, 654-ROAR is the number, and I'm kind of aware of where the majority of the texts are going to be geared here early in the program, so we're just going to accept that, and we'll let you guys vent once again, at least for a little bit, but just remember to take everything with a grain of salt in the media from the head ball coach is what I would say, because sometimes the messaging is intended to be received by other people than the fans. I think there was a large part of that yesterday that was meant to try and wake up and fire up his team a little bit. So that's where I'm at on it. John, welcome into the program and excited to have you here.
Excited to be here. Yes, if you would like to get in about any things about Clemson football, Dabo Swinney's press conference, what have you, 654-ROAR, we'd love to have you in. But at some point, I do want to move forward. You've been making me sit on Bears takes for 3 days, and I'm not okay with that. I've got some takes I need to get off Facts, and we've let Chad the mailman sit in his little safe space for too long, and I'm just... We can't drag this out all week.
The biggest winner of the week has been Chad the mailman. Undeniably, his team got 50 hung on him, and we haven't mentioned that this week. So
Chad and the Gamecocks are the two biggest winners right now that we haven't even addressed. Truly. Vanderbilt walking in there, beating them 31-7.
They took over their trap.
They did. And we got Don Munson to even say that on pregame on Saturday before the Georgia Tech game. Reggie Merriweather got him to say that. So that was...
I was laughing so hard behind the wheel of my vehicle, like I can't even describe. I had to end up running back, and that was the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life. Almost stopped the car.
I think you had a text into me 30 seconds after the quote was done. Like, did that just happen? Yes, it did.
Shout out to Don Munson. That was hilarious, and they did a great job on the broadcast, as always. And, John, another kind of unique part of the game on Saturday, I will say this. I did get to listen to Don in the radio call. I don't typically get to do that because I'm usually at the games, right? So having to cover in the press box, do whatever and whatnot. But I got to kind of sync it up to the TV. That's a good experience. You get the home call. You get to mute the announcers that don't piss you off of anything you say on the television for the most part. So, yeah, it's a pretty good deal.
It's a great deal. Yeah. Happy to be here every Saturday, or most Saturdays, to get to be a part of that broadcast team. It's a lot of fun to put it on.
And speaking of things I haven't mentioned, my team won the Super Bowl, and we had a Super Bowl rematch, and I haven't said the word Eagles in 6 hours of airtime this week. So I told our intern, Nick Costello, before the show today, we got to get to NFL at some point. So again, we'll talk Sweeney, we'll talk Clemson, but we've got ranked matchups on the horizon this weekend that we want to break down, including but not limited to Auburn and Oklahoma, Texas Tech and Utah. Clemson, again, does play a football game this weekend, regardless of what Dabo says in the presser. You got to go out there and you got to beat Syracuse. So we'll get into all of that today.
We've had two coach firings at the Power Four level we haven't gotten to address. There's so many things that have gone on in the world of college football outside of Clemson, South Carolina, that hopefully we can get into at some point this week as well. But a reminder, we are going to talk Clemson football today. We do have Landon Walker at 10 a.m. joining us in the second hour, former Clemson offensive lineman, to try to explain what he saw on Saturday. I'm curious to talk to Landon about, you know, he wasn't a part of Coach Sweeney's teams before, you know, yesterday when Coach Sweeney, I thought in a nice way, kind of ran down his accomplishments, for lack of a better way of putting that part of the press conference.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to know from Landon what Coach Sweeney was like in a time like this, when your backs were against the wall, particularly in 2010 when he was a part of that team that went 6-7. Like, what's the coach like in a week like this?
Yeah.
And what has practice been like? What are the meetings been like? We will have Landon at the top of the second hour to talk about everything related with Clemson football.
And we should have Chapel Fowler as well from the state coming up in the upcoming segment. And if you want a first row account, I know where Chapel sits every time. He's right there on the right side in the first row. He was there for Sweeney yesterday. So I'm glad that we're going to have Chapel on today, because I think that's going to kind of serve the purpose of helping us get that topic out of the way, kind of address everything Sweeney said, read off some text messages, get some questions in for Chapel Fowler if you want. Again, from the state, does a great job on the beat for Clemson and does a great job on Twitter if you want to give him a follow over there. But excited to talk about that and more. John, before we dive into the weeds of Clemson football with the audience, let's take 8 minutes to talk about the NFL real quick, because to be candid, I don't know when we're going to get the chance to do that again. Last weekend in the NFL, we had a ton of great games. Got a couple NFL texts in this week as well. Should I trade AJ Brown in fantasy football? Yes. I don't give fantasy football advice on here, but I'm telling you in this specific instance, yes. And let's start with the Eagles game, because the Eagles are not very good right now and are not playing very well and are still winning games against quality teams. Did you watch this game on Saturday, or did you catch a little bit on Red Zone? Or
I had it on. It was kind of on in the background. My parents were over, you know, the wife and the kid around. So, like, you know, we were doing stuff around the house, but, you know, kind of had it on. But can you correct me if I'm wrong? I saw this stat. I want to make sure that this is true. That Dylan Gabriel has more touchdown passes this season than Jalen Hurts does?
He does.
Okay.
Yes. And Jalen Hurts, okay, again, 6-5-4-4 if you want to get in on any of this. The Eagles get a lot of slander online, and it's usually for, like, two things. The tush-push, and people think Jalen Hurts sucks. That's the two primary things, and, like, Nick, you're nodding your head in agreement to an extent back there. Nick's pretty chronically online, like I am as well, I would assume, so we're both on Twitter all the time. Jalen Hurts gets ripped. Everybody thinks this guy sucks. I don't really think that there's a lot of the narratives that are cast on Jalen Hurts are deserved to a certain degree. Let's put it that way. When you go 15 of 22 for 101 yards and your average depth of target is like 3, once again, you're going to leave yourself subjected to some slander. But John, again, he has won 16 consecutive games as the starting quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles, and the Eagles are 19-1 in their last 20 games. And in those 20 games, Jalen Hurts has turned the ball over 4 times. His job is essentially to stand there, get it to Saquon, make the rudimentary reads and throws, and get out of the way and don't turn the ball over to rely on the elite defense. And that's all he needs to do for us to win games. So it's ugly. It's not super entertaining to watch. I'm pretty concerned about the state of the Eagles offensive coordinator and Kevin Petullo. Haven't loved what I've seen thus far on that side of the ball. But again, it's early. You're looking to establish identity. And I'm going to give the Eagles some time and some grace to work the kinks out, because you're 2-0 and you've played like crap in back-to-back games. So I'm pretty excited about where they're at. I think it's the best roster in football. And it's just about finding a rhythm and clicking and hoping that A.J. Brown doesn't strangle Jalen Hurts with his bare hands, because he's gotten 6 targets in 2 games, and I can see the trade request tweet coming through my phone right now.
Am I really getting smack talk texts from an 0-2 Browns fan? Or an 0-2 Browns co-worker?
Watch out, Pittsburgh.
The future is here. All right. I'll be waiting.
Dylan Gabriel sucks, Sam. Appreciate you listening, though. Texter gets in and says, a win is a win. Fly, Eagles, fly, Jeff and Manning. Jeff, you're 100% correct. Like, the Eagles play the most ugly brand in the National Football League right now, but they win. Ugly in success.
There's a lot more ugly football out there than what the Philadelphia Eagles are playing.
That is true. It's probably, I mean,
the
Browns.
Have you watched the Dolphins?
The Browns and the Dolphins, yeah.
The Saints?
Yeah.
Your Panthers?
Yeah, that was... Hey, we almost pulled off a comeback this past weekend. I want to get to that as well.
The Bears? I mean, we've got a lot of bad out there right now.
We do. I will say this. Let's stay in the NFC East for 0.02 seconds. Cowboys-Giants might be the best football game I've watched in the last 5 years, NFL or college.
It was a great game. I'm not going to put it up to that level because I think when we have the ability to look back, like have a little more perspective, some more data points... We're going to look at this game as this was the best Tuesday night MAC game of the year.
Meaning,
like,
not great
it was
teams.
Entertaining. Yeah. I enjoyed it. But these are two teams that probably won't make the postseason.
That's fair. Yeah.
Like, two bad teams put on an entertaining game.
What? So, I asked Grayson Mann this because I was watching the games with him on Saturday. And his mom, very gracious, had me over to their place. So, thank you for that. I will say this. How on earth is this Brandon Aubrey thing real? And I'm being dead serious. You're telling me that this guy was a software engineer and his wife, like, chirped him when he was sitting on the couch one day. This is exactly what I'm going word for word verbatim from the broadcast. He is a retired soccer player that was a software engineer sitting on his couch 2 years ago. And somebody missed a kick when him and his wife were watching the NFL games. And his wife, like, kind of chirped him and was like, oh, I bet you could go miss kicks if they could miss kicks. And he starts training and figures out that he's really good at this, and he is now the greatest kicker in the history of the NFL to date via the sample size that he has kicked in from both overall percentage and from 50-plus, where he is an absolute cyborg. And I kid you not when I say, I had zero doubt in my mind that he was banging that home from 64. The guy does not miss. Like, this is the most unfathomable thing I've ever seen in the NFL, just to be completely honest, John. I don't really know how to wrap my head around the whole Brandon Aubrey thing. What are your thoughts on that?
It's been a nice start. He's 6-for-6.
No, well, it dates back to last year, too, though.
No, he's been very, very good. He's been great. I do think I agree with Walt Neptula. We were talking the other day about maybe we should narrow the field goal post or do something to alter because now it is becoming too automatic where you don't even have to be on the right side of the 50 to line up for a kick anymore. You know, Walt and I were joking yesterday before he went on air that how this is now commonplace in college and in pro football, but we literally ran Lane Kiffin out of the NFL for trying a 70-yard field goal with Sebastian Janikowski, the guy with the largest leg of at that point in time that we had seen. I think we should make, maybe some tweaks too, but no, he's incredibly impressive. But then again, he's a Dallas Cowboy.
Dude,
water will find its level. It'll be fine. There will be a game at 425 at some point this season on Fox that he'll blow a kick in a division game.
I think he's their best player. Like, I genuinely think he's their best player. I think he's the best player
fine.
On the team.
That's fine. I'm not gonna argue with that part of the take.
What do you do if your best player is a kicker as a fan? Like, do you buy a jersey in support or do you just kind of
Chad the mailman? You have, like, the punter's your best player, so can you let us know what it's like, you know, from a Bears standpoint?
I would like that,
No,
yeah.
I think you celebrate that as your identity. Aubrey. Right? Like, we've seen a lot of college and pro teams embrace special teams being their identity.
Yeah. Aubrey is...
Go for it.
27 of 30 in his career from 50-plus, and he is 82 of 91 overall. In his first year in the league, reminder... People slander Dabo for taking a kicker off the couch. Brandon Aubrey came off the couch into the NFL and immediately was 94.7%, 38 for 36 as a rookie, and did not miss from 50-plus. This is unfathomable to me. Like, this genuinely breaks my brain. And Sam gets in and says he would do anything for Brandon Aubrey on the Browns because I think the Browns have probably lost 15 games in the last 5 years via a kicker. I would do insane things for Brandon Aubrey on my team. He's the most insane kicker I've ever seen in my life. Texter gets in and says, tell that to Young Wei Koo. Yeah. At least y'all got a new kicker in Atlanta now, though. Did you see that this past weekend, John, where they were interviewing the Falcons kicker after Monday Night Football, and it was Bijan Robinson on his left, and it was Leonard Floyd on his right, and the sideline reporter asked him, do you know your teammates? And he said, I know Bijan. He had no idea who Leonard Floyd was, so he dapped him up, and he met him for the first time. I thought that was the funniest thing for this past weekend that I saw.
No, that was awesome. I love that. That was a great moment there, because it... You could have had a situation where they made it really awkward and uncomfortable, but I appreciate all three athletes involved for finding the hilarity in the moment and just making the most out of it. I thought that was great.
Absolutely. We've got a ton of texts in on the Adams Cover Feed text line. We are going to take a quick break. We'll wrap back to NFL at some point, but we're going to have Chapel Fowler from the state joining us in the upcoming segment. I know you guys want to talk about the Sweeney Presser. If you've got questions about the Sweeney Presser, Chapel was on the first row. Okay, we're taking a segment for it. We're rolling the ball out for y'all. You can vent. You can get your frustrations out at 654 Roar. And we'll talk Dabo Sweeney press conference and Clemson football with Chapel Fowler right after a quick break here on the Roar.
When you wake up well-rested on a great mattress, everything becomes clear.
I do have a favorite child.
Things you missed when you were tired finally reveal themselves.
I should have just said the baby was cute.
It's the actually really seriously best sale of the year for real at Mattress Firm. Get a king bed for a queen price. Save up to $700 on Sealy and get a free adjustable base, plus fast free delivery. The right mattress matters. We'll find yours. Restrictions apply. See store or mattressfirm.com for details.
Greenville has a long mattress manufacturing history going back to 1931 when Orders Mattress Company was born. Today, the fourth generation of the Orders family is still making some of the best mattresses in the U.S. Visit Engineered Sleep's one-of-a-kind mattress showroom on Pleasantburg Drive, across from Krispy Kreme, and find your next mattress. Enjoy free in-home delivery, a 100-night sleep trial, and of course, a great night of sleep. Visit EngineersLeap.com.
Discover a new kind of senior living at Everlon Independent Senior Living in Clemson. Say goodbye to cooking, cleaning, and home maintenance, and say hello to comfort and community with chef-prepared meals, transportation services, a fitness room, a calendar full of engaging activities, and walking proximity to Patrick Square. Luxury independent senior living that's all-inclusive with no long-term commitments. Now is your time to live your best life. Schedule your free tour online today at everlineliving.com.
When reliability matters, trust American Doormasters to keep your business running smoothly. Is your garage door opener broken? We specialize in diagnosing and fixing issues quickly and professionally, all at a great price. From broken springs to complete installations, our expert team has the upstate of South Carolina covered. Don't let a faulty door disrupt your operations. Call today 864-990-3075. American Doormasters for all your garage door needs and experience top-notch service.
At Ingles, we know that fresh means local. The best ingredients don't come from a world away. They come from your own backyard, which is why we rise to the challenge of providing the freshest items you'll find anywhere. Getting our foods from the farms we support, to the stores we love, to the tables you treasure. Ingles, we're with you every step of the way.
Everyone knows that Low Country Male is the best place to go for low testosterone and ED treatments. Did you know they also offer NAD, BPC, peptides, and GLP-1 programs? The best thing about Low Country Male is it's a one-stop shop to get your testosterone up. Our concierge plans start at just $220 a month and include testosterone, lab work, physicals, unlimited doctor visits, and much, much more. We've been making men men again since 2016. 8 locations in South Carolina and Savannah. LowCountryMale.com.
Steve and Jerry here from the world famous Beacon Drive-In in Spartanburg. The Beacon has served over 300 menu selections of burgers, barbecue, chicken, fish, and more for over 70 years. Jerry, what's been the most popular?
Chili cheese, I ain't playing today. I need flounder. Cheeseburger like a burger, make it crust. Give me a bacon whip, no trim.
Had a feeling you'd say that. Join Steve
and Jerry
at the world-famous Beacon Drive-In, John B. White Senior Boulevard in Spartanburg.
Hey, Plante.
Hey, hon, what's a Vermeer?
Really? Come on, everybody knows that. Vermeer builds vacuum excavation equipment that's changing how underground utility construction is done from right here in Greenville. Soft dig trenchless innovation that can expose underground utility lines without harming them, leaving a softer environmental impact than harsher, more traditional digging methods.
Whoa, you're smart.
Yep, everybody knows that too.
Visit Vermeer.com/dig to see what everyone's talking about.
Contractors, we know what it takes to build something great. Long days, hard work, and the right materials. At Harbin Lumber Company, we're here to make sure you've got everything you need to get the job done. Since 1917, we've been your trusted partner in building dreams, from framing lumber to finished materials. When you work with Harbin, you're not just getting quality supplies, you're getting a team that's got your back. Visit one of our local lumber yards today and let's build dreams together.
Hey everyone, Sam Jones here. Get ready to join us live this Friday night on the Tri-County Technical College High School Football Game of the Week presented by Ingles. This weekend we head to T.L. Hanna High School, where the Greenwood Eagles come a-calling as the Yellow Jackets try to defend home field with their vaunted rushing attack. Join us this Friday night and every Friday night live here on The Roar, where every day is game day.
If you're 55 or older and into that whole saving money thing, T-Mobile has an exclusive phone and internet bundle just for you. Right now, get two unlimited phone lines plus 5G home internet for just $30 each per month with autopay, plus taxes and fees. And with 5G home internet, setup is easy with just one cord and no technician needed, which is great if you're also into that whole keeping it simple thing. Switch now and experience the best mobile network in the U.S. Visit your local store to start saving. T-Mobile, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data, Q4 2024 to Q1 2025, Ookla trademarks used under license. Unlimited on our network. Customers on voice plan may notice speeds lower than other customers and further reduction if using more than 50 gigs a month due to data prioritization. Video streams and SD on this plan. Home internet pricing after $20 in monthly bill credit plus $5 per line without autopay. Debit or bank account required. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Powered by Upcountry Fiber. We are 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Providing fiber internet, HDTV, and phone service, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
You're listening to Facts on Sports with Faxon and John. Now let's get back to the show.
We welcome you back in, everybody. Facts on Sports with Facts and Childress and John Hite continues right here on 105.5 at 97.5 at The Roar. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in. And it's time for our weekly Wednesday guest, Chapel Fowler, Clemson beat writer for the state newspaper. You can throw him a follow on Twitter. If you don't already, you got to be living under a rock, at Chapel Fowler. Chapel, in all seriousness, glad to have you on the program, brother, and appreciate your time here on a Wednesday.
Absolutely. Good to be with y'all as per usual. Lots to talk about after yesterday, so should be a fun conversation.
You know, the first 3 weeks, John, Chapel came in and he said a lot to talk about after this past weekend. And Clemson lost a football game this past weekend, and that's somehow been overshadowed within 48 hours.
That's accurate.
It's truly just kind of unbelievable. So before we do get into the weeds of the Sweetie Presser, Chapel, how was your game day experience down at Bobby Dodd? I love that stadium personally. I couldn't make the trip with Tiger Tailgate. I had to be back here at Mission Control holding it down. But did Atlanta treat you well, and did you enjoy your time at Bobby Dodd?
Yeah, no, great point. Like, yeah, there was a really interesting and good game that happened 2 days ago, and I kind of forgot about that as well. What a beautiful stadium. I've never been there before. Love the open air seating, love the view of the city. It was about a, 18-20 minute walk from my parking spot, like kind of off campus, through the middle of campus to the stadium. So I love kind of walking around there and seeing the quad and everything. Good stadium, just really good setup and heck of a ball game. I think Georgia Tech is a really talented team. Haynes King is like the perfect college quarterback, I think, in so many ways. Just so gritty, such a gamer, such a grinder. Just run QB power with that guy and you're probably going to get it done. I think they exposed some issues with Clemson. I thought it was probably Clemson's best offensive game yet, but still a lot of meat on the bone, and defense obviously didn't hold up at the end, but some of that was time of possession. So I think, that's a hard game to start your ACC schedule with, but I think it showed, kind of where Clemson's at right now in the ACC, as opposed to just, you know, playing LSU and you come up short, that's one thing. But if you can't get it done against a top conference opponent, there's some more questions there. But, yeah, great game day experience.
That's great. And, yeah, Bobby Dodd's great. I do love the game day experience there. Grew up going to games there. Now, granted, Georgia Tech was not very good, particularly in a lot of those years I was growing up going to games, so some empty seats. But when they do have a good product, those fans flock out and definitely make it a nice little environment down there in Atlanta. And, Chapel, I want to ask you specifically about a couple junctures in the game before we talk Sweeney and we talk Presser. We use the term middle eight, and usually the winner of the middle eight wins the football game. That was not the case in Atlanta on Saturday with those last 4 minutes of the second quarter and first 4 minutes of the third quarter. But really, for the majority of the second and the third quarter, Clemson really took control of the game. There was a point in time in the third where Clemson had outgained Georgia Tech within the frame, 114-4 with the yardage total. Yet when you looked up at the scoreboard, they never got more than a one-point lead. And the two times they got the ball back with the lead in that third quarter, they went three and out in quick succession. In your opinion, just where were kind of the crucial moments in the game where you felt like things went wrong for Clemson, outside of the very end, obviously, in the last couple of drives where the defense was gassed?
I think you nailed it with those, you know, three and out instances in the second half. I remember thinking, I forget the sequence of all this stuff. I know the Wesco drop on third down was big. That was a situation where I thought Clemson's offense really had some momentum and I think very realistically could have marched down and added some more points there and kind of changed the calculus of that game. I remember the defensive drive where, I mean, you could tell Georgia Tech was just starting to get to him. Like, Clemson's defense was gassed, and Tech has so many playmakers and such a good quarterback, and they get, I think, near to midfield, and they run that silly quarterback sneak from under center with the tight end, which was just like a cute, stupid play call that, like, if you're Clemson, you should really capitalize on that, because there's no reason Haynes King shouldn't have the ball in his hands right there. Like, the defense really just sells out, gets that stop around midfield, and I was thinking, oh my gosh, like they kind of got away with a stop here. I was expecting Tech to score. Like, if you're Clemson's offense, you need to do something here. That did not happen. So I think that time of possession in the fourth quarter really killed them. I think Tech was something like, I don't know, 5 of 9 on third downs in the second half. I think the time of possession was closer to about, I don't know, 55-60% in the second half for them. And I think that showed up over time. Defense really, I thought, played well in some key moments, but eventually, like, you're going to miss some tackles, you're going to get gassed, you're going to let Haynes King chunk you for 5-yard gain, 7-yard gain, and stuff like that. That they're too good and efficient and veteran of an offense to not do that when you give them so many opportunities. So I know Dabo was pretty hard on the defense post-game and leading into this week about, you know, that was the unit that didn't play well enough to win down the stretch, but I think offense shares just as much blame, if not more.
Continue to visit with Chapel Fowler from The State, at Chapel Fowler on Twitter, if you want to give him a follow. All right, Chapel, about 7 minutes left in the segment. Let's rip the Band-Aid off. Dabo Sweeney's press conference yesterday. I know you were front row, as always. Just give me some of your general takeaways before we dive into specifics. I haven't seen Sweeney that fired up in a minute, in all seriousness.
I think it's the most fired up I've seen him since Tyler from Spartanburg. I'm not saying that yesterday reached those levels. I don't think that it did, but I think that's the most passionate I've seen him talk to me in a public setting since that Tyler from Spartanburg rant. And, you know, context a little different, but in both situations, like, it's kind of a back against the wall moment. And that's him, you know, speaking from the heart. I think a lot of that was pretty unscripted. Like, I'm sure he had a thought in his mind that, like, he needed to kind of launch into a defense of this program and what it stands for and the history and everything, but a lot of that did really feel kind of off the cuff. I mean, the fact that it came on a question from, I think, Kwok about, you know, what plays on offense, what's, like, one play on offense you would like back, and 15 minutes later we've got our viral Dabo rant of the month of the season. So I think there was some truth to what he said. I mean, whenever he points out Clemson's historic success and track record and all that stuff, like, those are numbers you can't argue with. I think he may have missed the point in some ways about why fans are frustrated, and I don't think fans are looking at Clemson right now and saying, oh, you know, the national titles we won don't matter and the winning seasons we've had don't matter. I think it's more, you know, college football is very much a now, what have you done for me now business, and what Clemson has done in these last few years has been, yeah, you know, good but not great consistently. You know, you look at the record against SEC teams, against I mean, shoot, even Power Conference teams. They've lost five of their last six against Power Conference teams now. So I think it's more, you know, there's a lot of money invested into these coaches and this program and this roster in the RevShare era. And some of the little stuff in the execution where that's not getting done, and these close losses are piling up, and these losses to, you know, teams that Clemson of old or Clemson of recent was beating consistently. I can certainly get why fans are frustrated with that. And I know that the couple plays away thing maybe is valid, but that frustrates people also. So I think there was a lot of truth and validity to what he did, but I think kind of the general point of, you know, why people are frustrated maybe didn't get addressed totally in that. And that's fine. That's his strategy on it. I think it was a mostly successful rant and got the intended result. But, you know, still some questions that need to be answered.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. As we continue to visit with Chapel Fowler, and Chapel, we've got a couple questions in on the Adams Co. Roofing text line for you. And really, first segment, the text line was already blowing up with comments about the Sweeney press conference. I guess I just kind of want to take this in a different gear as far as where I'm asking your question. What do you think the fans need to see on Saturday against Syracuse? / what do you think the fans need to see going forward for maybe there to be some, you know, middle ground that's struck between the fan base and Sweeney right now? Because obviously he's getting crushed. I think there is a certain amount of it that's deserved to a certain extent, and a certain amount of it that's probably a little bit too harsh. Right answer somewhere in the middle, as it typically is. But how can Clemson turn this thing around with so many expectations preseason and so much hype coming into the year with such a disappointing start?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the answer is kind of probably somewhere in the middle on who's in the right, who's in the wrong. I think back to Tyler from Spartanburg, and you know, I think earlier in that season, Dabo kind of challenged and or called out the fan base as well, and kind of that, you know, 1% of this group is terrible, whatever it was. And then they go out and they beat a top 25 team in Notre Dame with a really physical running attack. And I think you could do the same on Saturday, not with a physical running attack, but I think it's more with just offensive execution in general against a really high-scoring Syracuse team. You know, I think some combination of crisp offensive execution, a few chunk plays, long drives, big touchdowns, and some level of, like, defensive competency against a group that really does sling the ball around but maybe hasn't done it against, like, the best competition. I think this is very much, again, like a back-against-the-wall game, and Clemson, like, to Dabo's credit, to the program's credit, has done really well in a lot of these spots. You know, they're favored by 16 or 17, which is a crazy line, I thought, after how last week went. But I think some of that, again, is Syracuse's opponents and who they played so far. So I think, you know, this is a very loyal fan base that cares. You know, I think, you know, there's no reason to think Saturday won't be a sellout and people won't be packed out and ready to go as per usual. But it is kind of one of those games where I think the boo birds can come out a little earlier than usual, depending on how stuff goes. So I think there's just almost like a feel to a game. And by the end of the first quarter, first half, I think we'll have an idea of if it's going to be, you know, this is Clemson putting its foot down and saying, hey, like, we're back. Don't worry about us. Like, this is going to be a competitive season. Or, you know, there's issues still sneaking in. And then that second half gets pretty interesting around 3 p.m. or so down there.
Another and final question for you, Chap, before we let you get out of here. Another thing that's kind of making the way through the fan base right now online, or at least something that I saw from Tiger Calls on Monday night, was Dabo reiterating that Cade was the guy when he was asked if there was ever any consideration of turning the reins over to Christopher Vezina at any point this season. And Dabo was very quick to step in and say, no, Cade's the guy. He's just got to play better. Any commentary on that as far as Cade Klubnik's leash as the quarterback of this team goes? Were you surprised to hear Sweeney's commentary on that, or is it just kind of status quo?
I wasn't too surprised to hear that. I do think Cade gives them the best chance to win this season. I think, you know, the Vezina question is so interesting for next year. And, you know, it's also, you know, it's compelling to think about, okay, if they're in so many close games this year because they're maybe not as dominant as they expected, like, when does Vezina get his reps, and what is the coaching staff working with, you know, to decide if they want to go after a portal guy in this offseason or stick with him at starter? There's so many, like, interesting backstories to all this stuff, and the fact that, you know, Vezina didn't play like, one snap against Troy. Most people thought that was going to be, like, four series. But, yeah, getting back to Kid, I do think he gives them the best chance to win. I'm not sure, like, the length of his leash right now. I'm sure it's a little shorter. But I think just like drive in, drive out, like he showed some stuff against Tech. Like you can still see the talent there. He's kind of in one of these weird stretches like he was 2 years ago. And that on its face is a concerning issue to have, like for a senior quarterback who's working under a really well-paid and experienced offensive coordinator with all this talent around him, that the offense can't get going, that he can't get going. But I do think this is his team, and I don't expect, you know, I don't know, in some crazy situation in a few weeks, if he has four or five bad drives in a row, maybe he gets pulled for a series. I think about when DJU got pulled for like Tyson Pumachon against Pitt, I think it was, yeah, however many years ago.
Goodness gracious.
That wasn't a permanent benching, but, you know, something like that could happen. I don't know. I don't expect it to. But I think if anything does happen with a QB change, it's more that as opposed to a full-time change, because I do think Cade, despite all his flaws this year, he is their guy, and I think he gives them the best chance to keep this season going to some degree.
Agreed. Well, Chapel, where can we check out your content? Where can the listeners at home find you?
Yeah, like you mentioned, Twitter at Chapel Fowler, and all our Clemson stuff and other coverage is on thestate.com/sports. Got a Sweeney presser recap up like we all did. so more to come there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Chapel, great work as always. We appreciate you checking in on a Wednesday morning, and take care, man. I'll see you soon.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Of course, that's Chapel Fowler with The State. We're going to take a quick break here on the program. Faxon and John continuing with Facts on Sports right here on The Roar right after this.
At Tri-County Technical College, they're committed to you as they look to transform lives and build strong communities. Tri-County's academic and training programs help them stay ahead of the trends in the business and corporate worlds to ensure you'll be well-equipped to succeed on the career path you choose. From advanced manufacturing to computers and IT, healthcare to skilled trades and more, TCTC is committed to your success. To find out more, visit one of their four campuses or go online at tctc.edu.
On Saturday, the Clemson Tigers will host the Syracuse Orange, and we've got you covered all day long right here on The Roar. Starting at 6 a.m. live at Burton Gallery inside Little John Coliseum, we've got the Ingles Tiger pregame show. Then at 9 a.m., it'll be the Tiger tailgate show with Faxon Childress and his crew. At noon, Don, Tim, and Reggie will have to call the game, and Dono, Clark, and I will take you home with the fifth quarter show. We are the flagship station for Clemson Athletics. We are The Roar, where every day is game day.
Sitting here today with our good friend Gary Mahaffey of Insurance for Seniors and Disabled. Gary, listener asked, Walt, I got a call from someone telling me that they were from Medicare and they wanted to review my current insurance plan with me. I thought it was a scam and I just hung up on them. I'd like Gary's opinion on this call.
Great job, listener. I tell my customers that neither Medicare or Social Security will ever give you a call. Everything with the government is done in writing for backup. I even have charlatans telling my customers that I told them to call. Friggin' unbelievable. If you don't recognize a telephone number, don't answer the call. If you need further clarification, feel free to contact me at 864-307-8484.
There you have it, listener. Once again, Medicare and Social Security, do not call. As Gary generously offers, give him a call instead at 864-307-8484 should you have questions.
When making decisions, it's important to take a long view and consider how our choices will affect us for generations to come. Longview Carolina is a gated community that emphasizes that long view, with on-site gardens, miles of trails, mature forests, open meadows, and gathering spaces with 50-mile views, all designed to spark true community. Go to contact at longviewcarolina.com to schedule your private tour today. Longview Carolina, worlds apart, minutes away.
Tiger fans, it's football time with fall almost here. Whether it's gearing up for game day, getting a jump on new fall styles, or taking advantage of summer closeouts up to 75% off, Elkmont is where you need to be. With great brands like On Clouds, Birkenstocks, Patagonia, Vuori, Z-Supply, Back 70, Columbia, and more, Elkmont is located in Powdersville on Highway 153 and Clemson across from Bojangles, or online at elkmonttradingcompany.com. That's E-L-K-M-O-N-T tradingcompany.com. Go Tigers!
The show continues after this quick timeout. Man, we're really having a great show today.
You know it. Hey, you coming to my house for the game?
No, because your toilet always backs up, man.
Yeah, but I'm calling Ace. Okay, it was like 82 degrees in your house last time, and we kept popping that breaker.
That's why I'm calling Ace Tomorrow.
The hardware store? I mean, you can't even use a screwdriver.
No, Ace, the one in the white and blue trucks.
Oh, right on. Okay, we're back.
For plumbing, electrical, and HVAC, visit acehomeco.com.
Straight Up Sports is simply all sports. All the time. Straight Up Sports is a collection of retired and award-winning sports writers and sports broadcasters from around South Carolina. Like Bob Gillespie from the State Newspaper, Scott Kiefer from the Greenville News, and Mark Sturgis from ESPN Upstate. Straight Up Sports is about the stories, just like the days gone by with no editors nor managers involved. Check us out on Facebook or Twitter or online at straightupsports.net.
Break out the bell bottoms and fire up the disco ball. Staying Alive is back at the Walhalla Performing Arts Center, October 3rd and 4th. It's the ultimate Bee Gees tribute, bringing the groove, the glitter, and all the hits you love. From Jive Talking to Staying Alive, this high-energy show will have you boogieing all night long. Don't miss your chance to relive the golden age of disco. Get your tickets now at WalhallaPAC.com.
Hey Clemson family, I'm Jeff Scott, former assistant coach and proud member of two national championship teams. Success on the football field takes teamwork, vision, and a great game plan. I partnered with fellow Clemson alum Eric Newton to create Newton Scott & Associates. From Tigertown to Lake Kiwi, we're your championship team, here to help you buy, sell, or build. When it's time to make your next move, trust the winning team, Newton Scott & Associates. Real estate, the Clemson way. Visit us at NewtonScottSC.com.
This is Leighton Cubbage from Lakeside Lodge, Lakeside Lodge Clemson. Across Lake Hartwell from Death Valley, Lakeside Lodge has every amenity you could want, including Traditions on the Lake restaurant, a pool, hot tub, and fire pit. Stay with us for the weekend or buy your own condo to enjoy anytime and earn income using our managed rental program. Visit ownership.lakesidelodgeclemson.com to start your new game day tradition and go Tigers.
Serving delicious meals at a fair price for over 50 years, Wendy's commitment to good done right is unwavering. For decades, they've served up great deals to feed the whole family. And nowadays, they're bringing you breakfast favorites. The Pretzel Baconator, the Biggie Bag, and you can't forget the Frosty, all available to order in the palm of your hands with the Wendy's app. Doing the right thing in the right way is the Wendy's way. Download the Wendy's app and visit your local store today.
From kickoff to the final whistle, your front row seat to college football lives here on 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar, part of the ESPN family.
We welcome you back in. It's the final segment of hour number one here on a Wednesday with Fax and Childress and John Height on 105.5, 97.5 The Roar. Before we hop back into the action, I want to tell you about our friends at Fort Hill Natural Gas. It's about to be cold weather season. I need it to be cold weather season. I'm tired of it being hot, to be candid, y'all. But you can enjoy those cozy nights. Make the most of the winter season with the efficient and reliable choice of natural gas. You want to get ahead of the curve before it gets too cold here in the upstate. At Fort Hill Natural Gas, they've got you covered no matter what season it is. Whether it's keeping your home warm, heating your water, firing up the grill, natural gas is clean, cost-effective, and always there when you need it. During the cold weather months, let Fort Hill Natural Gas keep your family comfortable and your energy bills low. You can visit FHNGA.com today to score big on some savings. That's FHNGA.com today with the great folks at Fort Hill Natural Gas. 654-ROAR is the number if you want to check in. Phone lines and Adams & Co. Roofing text line remain open. Going to read off a couple texts before we take Danny's phone call. A lot of Vezina discourse. I just kind of want to get my 2 cents before we take Danny's phone call. I want to lay this out in a way that I think everybody will understand. It's kind of what I was talking to our interns Nick and Ashley about off the air during the break. You guys have to account for the fact, like, I see a ton of texts that are like, why can't they just give him a series? Well, why can't they bench Cade for just a half and try and send a message? When you have a $50 million quarterback in the NFL and his backup looks a little bit better than him in camp, even if that's the case, and I don't think that's the case here with Cade Klubnik and Vezina for what it's worth, think about the politics that are at play because of the financial element that's in play. That's what I would say on the Cade Klubnik situation. Think about the short and long-term impacts of benching a multi-million dollar quarterback three games into the season. It's not just about the locker room this year either. It's about the donors you're asking to fund your team for years going forward. It would be horrific optics, messaging, a look for the front office at Clemson, the coaching staff, etc., to put Cade Klubnik on the bench three games into the season, and then you're also risking some short, long-term relationships with donors, payroll, financials, etc. Again, maybe I'm overblowing the impact of that to a certain degree, but I do think that when you bring money into the fray, and when you have, you know, people that are deemed your quote-unquote top earners, as Cade Klubnik is the highest-paid player on the team, if you put his butt on the bench, then all of the politics that come with playing quarterback and starting versus being benched already, those are exacerbated tenfold with the fact that he's also your top earner, and that's going to just come with a whole slew of consequences that I don't think people really account for because they're frustrated with the quarterback play on the field. Your thoughts on that before we take John, or before we take Danny's phone call, John?
I mean, I think that you certainly have more things you have to weigh now than you did in the past in terms of, do you want to bench somebody? Now, I am more of the camp where, hey, listen, if he comes out here Saturday afternoon and it's another sample size where he's just not settled in and not making the right reads, and to use the phrase we love to use all the time, he's not making the layups, well, then yes, I think you need to send a message regardless of the finances involved, because the financial investment made into the program is greater than the financial investment made into Cade Klubnik. But I do believe that you need to, if you're going to make the decision, I don't want it to be like it was in Cade's freshman year.
Yes.
Where you bring him in in spots, and then you pull him back out, and then you bring him in spots, and you pull him back out. I think if you do it once within a game to send a message for a drive, that's one thing. But if you do it moving forward, like in a big picture sense, I think you have to be prepared like that's the guy for the rest of the way. And when you do that to a senior, I mean, I remember when we did it with, and I'm not trying to compare Christopher Vezina to any of these other players here, but like, how difficult would it have been to go back to Kelly Bryant? How difficult would it have been to go back to Cole Stout without an injury? How difficult would it have been, you know, some of these other decisions over the years? Like, how difficult would it have been to go back to Colin Harper even in the first year? Willie Korn hadn't gotten hurt in the first game. Like, I think that could make things really awkward moving forward. Like, I just, the way that Clemson utilized Cade Klubnik his freshman year when DJ was the starter is what I don't want to see here.
Yes, you're exactly right. And that was,
and for the record, like, I understand where you're coming from with the financial element of it, and I'm not saying that you are wrong, but I think that the finances only come to a certain, there's a breaking point with that to me before then there is other things. Like, at some point it's just, okay, that's a sunk cost, move on.
Yeah, I get it to an extent, and texters are getting in saying things along the lines, money should not dictate playing time or not, the best option should play. The best option's playing. That's the best option's playing. I'm just going to tell you that right now, like, based on every account, based on every report, I think that we've already forgotten about Cade last season, three games into this year without his best player on the outside. Again, not making excuses, he needs to play better, but the best option is playing, and they're not, the coaching staff is not actively hindering this football team by not giving the backup quarterback a chance, in my opinion. I don't think that it's going to raise the quality of play with Christopher Vezina. Again, like CV, believe in the player projecting long-term. Don't want the herk and jerk that we saw at freshman year with Cade and DJ, where it's one player's coming in one play, and one player's coming in, and it's, oh, Cade, come be Superman against Syracuse, but we're going to put you right back on the bench. That's a nightmare for everyone. That's a nightmare for everyone. Let's get Danny in here. 654 Roar is the number. Good to hear from you, Danny. We appreciate the phone call.
Hey, guys, how y'all doing this morning?
Doing well, man. Doing well. How are you?
Good, good. Hey, here's the problem I have with Dabo's conference. My son is a great student. I mean, always A's and B's. But if one day he came home with a D, I'm going to have a problem with it. And, I mean, the thing I wanted to hear from Dabo is we're going to work harder. He came off more, I'm going to take my ball and go home if y'all don't get off my back. That comes off like kind of like a spoiled brat. And I think that goes over to the team. The team seems fragile this year for some reason.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think we're all kind of frustrated with the team right now, and I think that the demeanor, you know, that the team and the coaches have taken is not exactly ideal for anybody involved. And, you know, I didn't love all of Sweeney's comments in the press conference yesterday. I didn't agree with all of Sweeney's comments in the press conference yesterday, but I also have seen Dabo use press conferences for ulterior motives and use press conferences as motivational tactics within the locker room and within the team to try and create a spark. So I think he was frustrated yesterday. I think he got emotional at times. And I think the fans are entitled to be frustrated with Sweeney's commentary. But at the same time, you still got to spot the ball and go try and win the rest of the football games on your schedule. And the season isn't over yet. So I'm hoping that they can rally the troops, Danny. I understand that it's not looking great right now. And it would be ignorant to say that I'm confident that this team can rally off 9 straight wins to go 10-2 and try and salvage something, because I'm not confident in that fact. I think it could happen. I'm not sitting here saying that that's my projection as of right now, though. So it just kind of is what it is in relation to Sweeney and the team. And I think he's trying to pull out all the stops as motivational tactics to see if he can light a fire within this group, because as you said, we've been flat for 3 straight games now.
Thanks, man. Y'all have a good day.
Yeah, appreciate you checking in, Danny. 654 Roar is the number. Let's get Scott in Greenville in here. About 5 minutes left. Scott, good to hear from you. How we doing?
What's up, Fax?
What's up, man? How we doing?
I'm doing all right. Hey, the most popular guy in the locker room is a backup quarterback with the fan base, you know?
it's always going to be.
It's always going to be, and I'm not happy at all with the way Cade has played. He's shown flashes of it. I just think Cade is who Cade is. And I think that Dabo's always been loyal to a fault. There's no way in Hades that Dabo is going to bench Cade right now. We've seen that in the past. And pretty much once you're given the job, it's yours to take. The only reason why Trevor Lawrence got the job is because Kelly Bryant went in the portal. He said he was transferring. I don't think Dabo would have made the change in. He didn't want to make it with Cole Stout. It's got to be made at some point, but it's probably not going to happen this year. It's probably going to be next year. But we can just turn the reins over to him, and if he doesn't transfer out. When is the window? I was curious, when is the window, or what is the ruling on transfers? Because I've seen instances or seen reports that Nico may be entering the transfer portal at UCLA, but I know that's because his coach was fired.
That would be
but
rich.
I've seen Lagway's. I've seen reports that Lagway's considered that down at Florida. What is the rule on that and window of these guys? It's not four. Is it 4 games or not 4 games, or what does that work now?
In 4 games, you have 4 games to play and can take a red shirt. So after this week, you're going to see across the country a lot of players voluntarily take red shirts and then end up in the portal at the end of the year. There's a ruling that is coming down soon about limiting the transfer windows to just 1, and if that passes, it would be in January, not in early December as it is right now. So I think there's a lot of moving parts in terms of the portal, but like if they cannot, I'll put it this way, Nico can't enter next week and then go suit up back in Knoxville or something later on this year. Like they, you only can play for one school a season. So, but I do think that we'll be coming in here on Monday, and we're going to talk about players all across the country who are voluntarily taking red shirts. That's going to happen.
Yep, and that's a concern I have at Clemson, because usually when the season goes, you know, some of these guys, like I'm concerned with Davidson, you know, Gideon Davidson entering, because he's not getting any reps. He's a running back. That's just some little things if I were Dabo, and I'm not. Dabo knows so much more about the game than any of us calling into this show. But I look at it and I'm like, Davidson's a running back. I know he missed a block against LSU, but he's a running back. He should get 4, 5, 8 carries a game maybe. To keep him happy and see what he does. And if he shows the flash, use him. I think Cade needs a go into the locker room, and he needs a woodshed moment with his coach. I think somebody just needs to take him to the woodshed and get him. That may have happened. I don't know. But I just think that it bothers me, too, that Cade seems to have to only have Antonio Williams in the lineup for him to be able to play quarterback well.
Yeah.
That's crazy to me. We need to – the money is killing our motivational tools. We have no leverage as coaches or anything in that locker room with these players with all this money. That's the part that's killing, because if they don't want to play, they don't have to. They still won't get paid.
That's a good point. Hey, Scott, we got top of the hour coming up in like 30 seconds. I hate to cut you off, brother. Yeah, appreciate it. Thank you, Scott. And listen, we got a couple texters in about the Dabo, Kelly Bryant, Trevor Lawrence thing. Just for some clarity, we all remember back in 2018, Kelly's a starter. Trevor comes in at Texas A&M. Kelly swoops back in, and he actually ended up saving the day, and that was a big part of why you won the game.
But you lose the game without Kelly Bryant.
You lose that game without Kelly Bryant, and you don't go undefeated, and you don't have that narrative. And shout out to KB, who's a really good player playing quarterback for this school. But just like some clarity for the accuracy on that. When this transition was made, Kelly willingly left the program. That was the chronological order of events.
That's what created the portal.
That's what, yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, so that's kind of how that transpired, you know, in that fashion. So we'll talk more about all this on the other side of a quick break. We got Noah in Spartanburg and a couple others queued up on the phone lines. Text lines are open at 654-ROAR. Faxon and John continuing with Fax on Sports on a Wednesday. Stick with us after a quick break.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson, WAHT, AM 1560.